We're glad you're joining us for A New Beginning with Greg Laurie, a podcast supported by Harvest Partners. Get more encouraging audio content when you subscribe to Pastor Greg's Daily Devos. Learn more and sign up at harvest.org.
When discouragement hits, it can take our breath away. Well, coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie offers a strong hope from the Word of God.
Maybe you feel down, but God can take what seems like an end and turn it into a new beginning. He can bring good despite the bad. As Scripture says, He can bring beauty out of ashes. And that is why Jesus died on the cross. It was God's well-thought-out plan.
This is the day.
Ago, bad news arrived in just one daily dose, delivered by way of the 6 o'clock news. Today, we're drowning in a 24/7 deluge of negativity from cable, the internet, and even the carefully curated lives on social media. This constant bombardment leaves us feeling overwhelmed and hopeless. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us see where hope comes from. We'll walk along with Jesus on the road to Emmaus.
Turn over to Luke chapter 14. This is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. Jesus joining the two discouraged disciples on the Emmaus road. We read in verse 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, named Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." And Jesus asked, "What things?" I love that. "What things?" Hello? But he's sort of acting as though he doesn't know what they're even talking about. Have you ever taken a walk to clear your mind a little bit? I find that's a good thing to do. You know, you just want to think about something, and maybe you take a walk with someone and you're discussing something intently as you're seeking to sort of resolve it or sort it out. That's exactly what's happening here. These two disciples are walking, but they're talking. They're trying to understand what has happened to them and who joins them. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Did you know Jesus is walking with you too? Whatever you're going through, he's walking with you through it. He's interested in what you're facing. Of course, he knows all about it. If it troubles you, it concerns him. And Jesus asked him this question, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" So now they find themselves in the unique position of telling Jesus about Jesus. And then they make this tone-deaf statement of verse 22, "And it's been 3 days since this happened, and some women said, Jesus is alive." It doesn't say this in the verse, but I wonder if Jesus rolled his eyes. Like, seriously? How many times did I tell you this, you guys? How many times did I tell you I would be betrayed, I'd be crucified, I'd rise again from the dead 3 days later, and you're literally saying, "It's been 3 days since this happened, and women said that I was alive, and you don't even understand what's taking place." And then he calls them fools. He says, "Oh, you fools, slow to understand." And he takes them on a guided tour of all of those Old Testament passages that pointed to Messiah. See, Jesus is in all of the Bible. He's in the Old Testament concealed. He's in the New Testament revealed. So he's saying, "Hey, here's all those times when I made appearances in the Old Testament, all those times when the story was pointing to me, like when Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac, and there was a last minute reprieve from heaven. But remember what God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him to me. And all those verses. And as he's telling them these things, they're thinking, man, this guy really knows the Bible. I mean, you'd think he was there when it happened. Yeah, getting closer, getting closer. They're beginning to stir. And then they come to the end of their journey. And they said, would you stay with us? And he sat down at a table. They took out a small loaf of bread and they prayed. And suddenly they realized who he was and he disappeared. And then they said in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And with reignited hearts, burning with hope, they went back to be with the Christians in Jerusalem. Luke 24, 33, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. You know, sometimes we wonder why our hearts grow cold as Christians. We wonder why we don't have the same passion that we had when we first became followers of Jesus Christ. Here's the answer. It's because we distance ourselves from God by distancing ourselves from other believers. See, these two believers had separated themselves from the other Christians in Jerusalem. They wanted to put as much distance between them and that bloody cross as possible. They wanted to erase it from their memories, but any step away from the cross is always a step in the wrong direction. As St. Paul said, get back, get back, get back to where you once belonged. St. Paul McCartney. Okay, never mind. But so here are the three R's of getting right with God. If your heart has grown cold, if you don't have the passion for Christ you once had, here are the three R's of getting right with God from the book of Revelation chapter 2. Jesus says to the believers there, you know, you're discerning, you're hardworking, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, Jesus says, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works quickly. The three R's are remember, repent, and repeat. So remember, go back in your mind and ask yourself the question, was there a time when I was more passionate about my relationship with God? If the answer is yes, then repent. Lord, I'm sorry, I've strayed from that. And then what? Repeat. Do the first works quickly. What did you used to do when the fire for Jesus was burning brightly? Well, you said I used to get up every day and read the Bible. Do you still do that? No, I don't really. Go back and do that again. It's not rocket science. What else did you do? Well, I used to pray. I prayed about everything. Go back and do that again. What else did you do? Well, I used to look for opportunities to share my faith. When's the last time you engaged somebody in a conversation about Jesus Christ? Well, I don't remember. Go back and do that again. And what else? Well, I was in church every single Sunday. You see, this is the thing. These guys separated themselves from God's people. That's always a mistake. You know, sometimes people will say, well, God doesn't command us to go to church. Well, actually, he does. Because in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. That verse does not say, let us not forsake meeting together unless it's a great day at the beach and there's a swell. Or let us not forsake meeting together unless you want to run in that triathlon or do something else. No. This is something I need to do. Oh, well, you might say, I love the Lord, but I just don't love Christians. I just don't love the church. But wait a second. The church is the bride of Christ. Okay? So if you want to get on my bad side, insult my wife. We're the bride of Christ. Well, the church is full of hypocrites. Yeah. If I can find a hypocrite-free church, I'll join it. Please don't. You'll ruin it. Yes, the church is filled with flawed people like you and me, but Jesus has established a church. It's the only organization he ever started. And he said of the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. So how important it is for us to do that again.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
It's such a blessing to hear from listeners who take time to express their appreciation.
Pastor Greg, I'm so thankful for your preaching. You're a light in a dark world, and you were born to preach. I listen to your messages all the time and love your down-to-earth style. You also explain the Bible in an easy-to-understand way. Thank you so much for your diligence and love for God. I appreciate how you speak the truth, never sugarcoating the word. Yet you have such a humble and sweet heart. Thanks for being an example of a real man of God.
If you have a story to share, why not call us and give us all the details? Here's the number, 1-866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144.
Well, we're glad you're along for this Good Friday broadcast of A New Beginning. Pastor Greg's message title today, A New Day Dawning.
And I read an interesting study that was done about moms and dads who attend church regularly. The study revealed that 70% of their children would remain faithful in attendance if mom and dad both attended church. If only dad attends church, 55% of the children would continue to attend. If only mom attends church, 15% would remain faithful, and if neither attended regularly, only 6% remain faithful. Wow, see that? See how you influence your kids? See how you need to model that? And notice it's not just mom, it's mom and dad together. So if you're a mom and dad in church together today, I say God bless you and thank you for the example you are setting. You're doing a great service, not only for the Lord, but literally for America. Because really, every problem you see in America today is because we have abandoned God's plan for the family. And the family's been broken down and it's been redefined and it's under attack in every way possible. And when a man and a woman stay together and they're faithful to each other for a lifetime and they raise their children in the way of the Lord, that's the most patriotic thing you could do for our nation right now, and I commend you for it. So in closing, how did Jesus reactivate the hearts of these two discouraged disciples? He opened to them the word of God, verse 32. He said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, they were discouraged. And maybe I'm talking to someone that's discouraged today. Maybe you feel down. Maybe you feel as though God has let you down. But as the story shows, everything can change. God can take what seems like an end and turn it into a new beginning. He can turn a failure into a victory. He can bring good despite the bad. As scripture says, he can bring beauty out of ashes. And that is why Jesus died on the cross. It was God's well-thought-out plan because there was no other way to satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God that we have all offended, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us break his commandments every day. We fall short of his standards. There had to be an atonement. There had to be a substitute. Someone had to stand in the gap, and the only one qualified to do that was Jesus himself. Because Jesus was fully God and fully man, he was the God-man who died in our place. And as he hung there on the cross of Calvary, all the sin of the world, all of your sin and all of mine was poured on him. I'm going to look at one more verse here in Luke 24. By this time they were nearing Emmaus. They were at the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. They're at the end of their journey. I wonder if some of us are at the end of our journey in life. This will be, for someone here, their last Easter. I don't know who that person would be. You say, well, Greg, preach that to the old people. But I'm young, man. Yeah, well, you don't know, do you? Nobody knows how long their life will really go. You might be closer to the end of your journey than you realize. That's what's happening here. And they say to him, stay with us. But I love how it says, Jesus acted as though he would keep going. Have you ever done that? I have. You know, you maybe see someone in a restaurant and they say, come join us. And you're thinking, I don't know, it seems like they already have something going here. And you go, oh, that's okay. They said, all right, see you another time. So maybe they really didn't want you to come and join them. But if they keep persisting, no, please, come and join us, come and join us. Okay, finally, you give in, I will. Jesus wants you to want him. He won't force his way into any person's life. He's waiting for you to invite him into your life, to join him on life's road. Reminds me of a time I was driving with two of my grandchildren, Allie and Christopher. And Allie was 5 and Christopher was 3. He was in this little, you know, chair there, car seat in the car. So Allie said to Christopher, Christopher, Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And I'm driving, I'm thinking, that's very good. And then she said, he lives in our heart and one day he will live in our stomach. I thought, okay, we got to work on that a little bit. He's not going to live in our stomach, but he will change your life. But only you can open that door of your heart, so to speak. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I wonder, on this Easter, if you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life yet. And if you haven't, you can do that right here, right now. He died on that cross for you. He bore your sin. He rose again from the dead. Now he's ready to come into your life and give you a new beginning, a fresh start, and to give you purpose in this life and hope for the afterlife. And all you need to do is say, Lord, come into my life. So we're going to pray in just a moment. And I'm going to extend an invitation for anybody here who has never asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. If you want him to come into your heart and life right now, respond to this invitation. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, now I pray for everyone that's here, everyone that's listening and watching, wherever they are, I pray you will show them their need for Jesus and help them to believe in you right now. Help them to turn from their sin and find the forgiveness that only you can give. We commit them to you now. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer today here on A New Beginning. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a few moments, so stay with us. And then we're happy to have New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel with us today. He's written a new book called Is God Real? And we're so pleased to make it available to you right now. Pastor Greg?
Hey, Lee, when people say they're atheists, because you used to actually be an atheist,
yeah.
But do you think most people really are that, or do they say that as a way to get Christians to leave them alone and stop talking to
That's
them?
That's a great question, Greg. Here's my feeling about this. Back when I was an atheist, back in the 70s and early 80s, it was embarrassing. You didn't tell people you were an atheist. I mean, that was like confessing to be a pedophile. I mean, you just didn't admit that. Nowadays, it's culturally popular. It's the in thing to be. It is harder to come out these days as an evangelical Christian than as an atheist. Because culture will support you in your atheism. Oh, yeah, well, sure, you know, you're smart, so you must not believe in God and so forth. So I think a lot of people who say they're atheists have not really looked into the evidence, number one. And number two, most of them, when you press them, are really agnostic. Mm-hmm. They don't know one way or the other, really, whether God exists. They're kind of in spiritual neutral.
Explain the difference between an atheist and agnostic.
Yeah, an atheist says there is no God. And when you think about that, you would have to be God to be an atheist, because the only way to know for a fact there is no God is to have all knowledge. And the only one who has all knowledge is God himself. So it's really a self-defeating kind of position. Agnosticism says that I'm not sure. I'm kind of hung up between I know and I don't know. I've got doubts. I've got questions. And I think that's where most people are. But they're encouraged by the culture to kind of go to sink deeper into their skepticism these days. And that's why I tell parents, don't freak out when your college kid comes home at Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever and says, I'm now an atheist. Don't freak out. That's the popular thing to do these days. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them. Maybe give them a copy of this book for a birthday present or something. I think most people who these days say they're atheists are just spiritually confused.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're listening to Lee Strobel. He's talking about his brand new book titled, Is God Real? It was C.S. Lewis who once said, quote, even atheists have moments of doubt.
Yeah.
And so those people that you may know who say they're atheists may in fact not be atheists at all. But whatever they are, this book is going to help to answer questions they have if they really want to know answers. So whatever you're able to send in, that will ensure that we will continue to preach the gospel and teach the word of God through this radio broadcast. And it will be our privilege to send back to you a copy of this book that we've just been discussing, Is God Real? By author Lee Strobel. So, Dave, tell them how they can get a copy for themselves.
Yeah, it's easy to do. Just get in touch by calling 1-800-821-3300 and let us know you want a copy of Is God Real? And today is our last opportunity to mention this resource, so be sure to contact us right away. Again, dial 1-800-821-3300 or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or you can just go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you've mentioned before that someone can become a Christian with just a simple prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody would like to do that right now. Could you help them with that?
Sure, I'd love to. A simple prayer is right. In fact, I would like to just pray a prayer, and I would ask you to pray it after me right now. Pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I also know that you are the Savior because you died on the cross for my sin and you rose again from the dead. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer, Lord. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to know on the authority of Scripture, God Almighty has heard your prayer and he will answer this prayer. You are now a newly minted child of God. So congratulations, you've made the right decision and welcome to the family of God. I want to send you a special gift because of that prayer you've just prayed. It's called the New Believer's Growth Packet. And in it is a copy of the New Testament in a very understandable translation called the New Living Translation. It also is filled with hundreds of notes that I wrote that will encourage you in this commitment you've made to follow Christ. And there's some other outstanding materials in this little packet I'll send you as well. So order your copy today and let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to send it all your way free of any charge if you prayed along with Pastor Greg today. Just ask for the New Believer's Bible when you call 1-800-821-3300. You can reach us anytime 24/7 at 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God.
Hey, everybody, I want to encourage you to join us for something we call Harvest at Home. It happens every Sunday at harvest.org and on our brand new app, Harvest Plus, which is available on your mobile TV devices. Download it now, and you can watch Harvest at Home with Christians from around the world as we worship together and study God's Word. So again, join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org or on Harvest Plus.
Well, next time, as we return to Pastor Greg's series in Mark, we'll visit the moment when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Pastor Greg shows us that how he answers reveals a great deal about us. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to A New Beginning. This is a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners. So for more content that can help you know God and equip you to make Him known to others, or to learn more about how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org.